So a thought or two to share with you tonight, but a little bit of a quiz. Isaac and Jacob, you may not answer this question. What is the Torah portion this week called? Everyone else can play, though. Do you know what it is? What's the Torah portion? Bereishit, it's an easy one to know, right? It is the very first portion of the very beginning of the very first book in Torah. It's up there, right there, exactly right. We just celebrated Simchat Torah and started reading all over again. So if we just did Simchat Torah, it must be the very beginning. The first book of the Bible is Genesis or Bereishit. And so the first portion is Bereishit. We hear the story of creation. We hear Adam and Eve. We hear Cain and Abel. All kinds of great stuff. Come tomorrow morning if you want to hear some fantastic Torah reading of the days of creation to be able to do. But that actually then is a good quiz question. So there are a couple of elements in here. If you look at our stained glass windows, which are not as illuminated, so maybe they won't give the answers away. What did God create on day one? I saw lights pointing out. What do you mean? Light and dark. That's right. Can we get our first slide? The right answer is light and dark on day one. What did God create on day two? Not, you know, morning and night were part of day one. There was evening, there was morning, and evening comes first, which is why on the Jewish calendar, days start at night at sundown. Evening and morning is part of day one, and it ends each one of the sections, Susan. That's right. On day two, what was created? So day two, slide. We have the sky and the seas. The water gets separated, and the waters below, and the waters above, and heaven up above there. Day three, what gets created? Frank knows this well. That's right, or you're looking at the right, at the. Day three is the earth, the ground, and all the vegetations. Day three, please. Oh, all those fun fruit trees after each kind, all after their own. Exactly right. All right, day four. What do we make on day four? What do you think? Moon and stars, and the big light is the sun. Sun and moon and stars. Just like that, with smiley faces too. Day five. What's created on day five? I'm sorry you all are missing Frank's hands motions, but I'm enjoying them tremendously. Day five of Carolyn, so we've got birds and fishies. Let's get day five up there. Birds of the air, creatures of the sea. That's right. Day six. What's created on day six? Skip is looking at the window right over there to see what it is. What do you see? Frank, you're rocking this, my friend. That's great. Day six, let's put day six up there. All the land animals and people, human beings are created. What's created on day seven? Let's put up day seven is Shabbat. Right? On day seven, God stops creating, and in doing so, creates rest. Creates rest. As in rest from a rabbi too busy preaching from the last month to write out a full sermon, so we'll see what we'll do. We're going to study for just a moment, actually, about Shabbat, a couple of interesting things. Some of you may have studied this in other places or with me previously, but when we talk about Shabbat, the rabbis of our generations, our sages throughout time, actually develop, as you may know, a lot of rules about Shabbat, what you should or should not do on Shabbat. They come up with 39 categories of prohibition. I don't know if you can see that. We tried to fit them all on one slide, right? Carrying, lighting a fire, extinguishing a fire, finishing, writing, erasing, cooking, washing, sewing, tearing, knotting, and tying, and so on. Lots of categories of things and anything related to those. You might wonder, where did they get those specific things from? In part, because of a later section of Torah where the prohibition against working on Shabbat comes right next to the building of the tabernacle. The rabbis figured anything that the Israelites did that helped build the tabernacle would count as work for Shabbat. So a lot of tapestry work, a lot of working with the skins or the metal or things like that. And yes, number 37, I had a confirmation student, we were studying this once, and she said, "Rabbi, I don't think tanning is a lot of work, you just have to lie there." Let me explain that that had to do not with sun tanning, but tanning of hides and whatever. She got it then, that was fine. Some of these are things we might ordinarily do. Some of these have been translated and extrapolated into a whole list of other things that people do or do not do on Shabbat. The notion of not kindling fire has been extended into not using or turning on electricity. If a light is on when Shabbat begins, it stays on, you don't turn it off. If a light is off, you don't turn it on. My Orthodox cousins living in the outskirts of Jerusalem will follow many, many of these rules. Not driving, not using money, all actually derive from these 39 categories of work. For me, I see Shabbat a little bit less about what you don't do, and I put the focus more on what we do do. Shabbat is not, and I've said this before, Shabbat is not an all or nothing game. You don't have to keep every single last rule of Shabbat in exactly the way that our ancestors did in order for Shabbat to be meaningful. As a matter of fact, for me, there are three main principles that come from Jewish tradition, three main principles that are part of Shabbat, that for me, if you find a way of doing these, you count for Shabbat. One is, the next one is Kiddushah, which means holiness, something that sanctifies the day. And Kiddushah, excuse me, Kadosh, doesn't just mean holy in a spiritual, kind of new age kind of way. But Kiddushah actually comes from the root kadosh, which means separate or set apart or distinct or different. Shabbat should be a day that is a little bit different from any other of your day of the week. So if you do anything that is a little different and you do it on Shabbat for the sake of Shabbat, that's also Kiddushah, making it sacred, special, different, set apart. Okay. The next concept of Shabbat, Menucha, rest. Who likes to take a Shabbat nap? Oh, those are the best, if you can do that. Something that is resting, something that is relaxing, and if it is relaxing to you to hang out and watch, binge a show on TV for 3 hours, that counts. Or to play board games with your family, or to go on a walk in nature, or find a way to rest. Do something intentional on Shabbat that makes it different and that gives you some rest. And the third concept, oneg. Oneg is not just little cookies that we're going to eat in a little while. Oneg is the Hebrew word for joy. Shabbat should be joyful. Do something on Shabbat that brings you joy. And it can be as little or as large as you want it to be. But if you find some way during the period of time from sundown tonight, 25 hours till sundown tomorrow, and you do something that brings a little bit of sanctity, Kiddushah, a little bit of rest and relaxation, Menucha, and a little bit of Oneg, joy, that's Shabbat. So one last slide for you here. Oh, you definitely can't read those things. Okay. In working with confirmation classes over the years, we've reinterpreted and found ways of doing Shabbat meaningfully, reading a book, playing sports, not spending money, spending time with your friends, dressing in different clothes, studying something Jewish, giving tzedakah, going to the movies with your friends, not doing homework, saying the blessing over wine, listening to music, or any of those things that we can do that make Shabbat, Shabbat. It's not an all or nothing game. You don't have to do everything all at once in one Shabbat and start in. But little by little, find ways of bringing Kiddushah, Menucha, and Oneg into your lives, and that is Shabbat. If we had more time in a different setting at another time, I'd gather us in small groups, we'd brainstorm ways of bringing Shabbat into your life. But think for a moment, what is it that you currently do for Shabbat? You're here, that's a good part. You're watching online, that's awesome too. Maybe you lit candles at home, said Motzi and Kiddush, maybe not, maybe we'll do that here together. Maybe tomorrow you'll study a little bit of Genesis, or you'll do something with the intention of it being Kiddushah, Menucha, or Oneg, or you'll find a way to make Shabbat, Shabbat. This year, as we start this next cycle of Torah reading with our Torah portion this year, this week, right? We hope and pray that Shabbat gives us that chance to rest, to re-soul, to have a little bit of sanctity in our lives, to make sure that we have a little bit of joy as well. We hope and pray on this Shabbat and every Shabbat that we take that time for ourselves, as God did, to make Shabbat, Shabbat. This we pray for this coming year, Ken Yehi Ratzon, that this be God's will, and together we all say, Amen. Amen.